People who send a lot of text messages are getting used to the practice of speech to text. Speak into your cell phone and it figures out in print what you just said aloud. But it's gotten pretty good. There are fewer embarrassing guesses by the machinery on words. Now think about going in the other direction and generating a spoken voice from typed text. There's value in that, and the value is being realized by emergency dispatchers, including in Jackson County. So let's talk about what is gained from text to speech. Justin Bates is a deputy chief with Medford Fire Rescue and our guest here in the studio on the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome, Deputy Chief Bates.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So you're the deputy chief in charge of administration. Tell us what that entails.
Yeah, that's essentially the business side of the fire department. And so we have two deputy chiefs. One is in charge of actually the fire trucks that are out there, you know, responding to calls on a day-to-day basis and kind of dealing with that. I'm in charge of the administration side of the fire department. And so, again, that's the planning and the budget, you know, making sure we're meeting our response times. And so, you know, kind of that business part of the fire department.
Keeping all the day-to-day operations, the not involving the actual use of fire trucks and machinery.
That's right.
Got it. All
right.
So making sure the pencils are sharpened and things like that. Sure. Ordered anyway. It sounds like a lot of that then is finding ways to incorporate newer technologies into what you do.
That's right. Yeah, we're always looking for new technology that can help us be more efficient. You know, that's our business. We're in the business of trying to get there quick and help people. And so if we can use technology to make that happen, we're always looking for that opportunity.
I notice your department is not the only one that has adopted the name Fire Rescue, as where it was previously just Fire Department.
Yeah, you know, so much of what we do is much more than just Fire Department and going and putting out fires. And that's traditionally what people think of, you know, when they think of the Fire Department. But, you know, 70 to 80% of our calls are medical calls that we respond to, and we help out the ambulance. We do other, you know, rope rescue, swift water rescue. We do kind of the jack of all trades. And so a lot of departments are trying to reflect that in their name. Yeah.
So over the course of a given year, I mean, calls for whatever need come to Medford Fire Rescue, are the majority of those rescue calls and not fire calls?
Right, yeah. We're running just shy of 80% of our calls are actually medical calls and other calls than actual structure fires.
Well, all right, so that's a big percentage then, 80%, wow.
Yeah.
Describe, if you would, the evolution in dispatching for the various emergency systems in Jackson County. It seems like every couple of years a new name comes along that tends to absorb the old names. What's been going on?
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of a trend in emergency services, is taking these smaller departments that were kind of a one community kind of organization and combining them into a larger organization, again, to be more efficient, take advantage of, you know, size and resources and that sort of thing. And so that's what you've kind of seen with the dispatching agencies in the valley. We used to have one for Medford, the city of Medford specifically, and then the county had their own. And, you know, it was really, there was so much duplication of effort in that. And so several years ago, they decided to combine into one agency.
And what is that agency now?
It's called ECSO, Emergency Communications of Southern Oregon.
So with ECSO, is all dispatching for every agency in Jackson County under one roof?
Almost, yeah. You know, organizations like the state police have their own dispatch. Oregon Department of Forestry has their own dispatch. But other than that, I mean, pretty much every fire and police agency in Jackson County is dispatched by that dispatch organization.
And I have to believe that you know, as you look at ways that you can find greater efficiencies in delivering service, particularly when, as you point out, 80% of your calls are non-fire calls, so usually medical sorts of things, I have to believe there have been constant efforts to make dispatching smoother and more efficient. Does that come from within ECSO? Does it come from the various agencies that are dispatched by ECSO, a combination thereof?
Yeah, it's really both. Yeah. You know, they have their side of the equation, you know, a dispatch there. And so they're always looking for ways to make their operation more efficient. And likewise, we are out on the street. You know, how can we get notified and respond to some of these emergencies faster than we typically have?
So this text-to-speech system that is now in use, how does it work?
Well, it's a computerized system that's been developed, you know, and it takes addresses and talks those out, you know. And so just like, you know, you have on your iPhone or, you know, any phone you have where it can talk to you, you know, and read a text or something like that to you, it's the same technology.
All right, and is it just addresses? I mean, is that the primary thing? It's just making sure that you identify to the emergency crew, the appropriate emergency crew,
right,
where to go?
Yeah, at this point, it's just addresses, and it'll say the city, you know, that you're going to, and the type of emergency you're going to. So it will say structure fire or motor vehicle collision, that type of thing.
Justin Bates is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the deputy chief in charge of administration for Medford Fire Rescue. We're talking about text-to-speech for dispatch, which can help shave some seconds off of the whole process. Join us if you have some questions or comments at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So you've been using this for how long now?
We've had the text-to-speech for about a month. We've had that turned on and using that. And it's been, you know, it does actually a pretty good job at saying the streets. You know, just like there's always a few kind of crazy street names out there that even we mispronounce sometimes. It has a little trouble with those. But we have the ability to go back into that after the fact and adjust the way it pronounces some of those streets so that we can understand what it's saying.
Is the adjustment made by having somebody actually record a new voicing for it, or is it just you're re-identifying to the computer how to say this?
Right, just re-identifying to the computer, here's how we want you to say that. You know, so an example is with some of the addresses, you know, where we would normally say, you know, 1242 Main Street, you know, well, it will read out 1,200, you know. So it kind of goes through that. So sometimes with addresses, you got to go back in and tell it, no, we don't want you to say it that way. We want you to say it this way. And it's pretty flexible in that we can program it that way.
And with the street names, are there some interesting pronunciations too? I mean, you know, Medford, you can go from everything as simple as from Ross Lane to probably Mikleshevsky Court or something.
Yeah, there is. And we've been surprised, honestly. We expected a lot more of those issues. And we've had, you know, just a few of those that we're able to go back in and tell it, no, we want you to say it this other way.
How does the machine pronounce Juan Apero?
Yeah, I don't know about that specifically, but yeah, some of those are interesting.
Yeah, I've gotten in trouble for pronouncing that one wrong myself. How much time then can be shaved off the process? I mean, by this point, I would think that, you know, this process is so refined that any shaving of time is really getting down to like a second or two.
It is, yeah, and we're getting down to just a few seconds here or there. The thing is though, you know, a few seconds here and a few seconds there really end up adding up for us. You know, when we're going to a cardiac arrest victim, for example, you know, second, you know, if you can get there 20 seconds quicker than you otherwise could, that could mean the difference between life or death, you know, if nobody's doing CPR on that patient. So we're always looking for little nib-nabs here and there that we can fix and be more efficient to be able to get to these calls quicker.
And I know from talking to the neurologists too, when they're talking about stroke victims, they're talking about time is brain.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're on the other end, I mean, when that's you out there, you know, 20, 30 seconds can seem like an eternity, you know, so we're really trying to get there as quick as we can.
Is there a standard lag time? I mean, from first call to dispatch, when 911 is first alerted, to arrival time, is there an average that is used in the department?
There is an average, and I don't have that specific number with me, but we do have benchmarks that we have that we shoot for, you know, and so in the dispatch center, they try to shoot for a minute. So 60 seconds by the time you call 911 until they're notifying somebody at a fire station or the ambulance to go out there, they try to shoot for a minute or less is their goal. And then for us out on the fire station, out on that side, we're shooting to be able to respond to that emergency and get going down the street and figure out where we're going within a minute and a half. And so if we're in the fire station, the time starts ticking when we get notified, and until we're driving out the driveway onto the street, we try to keep that under a minute and a half time.
Wow. So 60 seconds to get the ambulance moving and 90 seconds to get the fire personnel.
Which those seconds tick by so quickly, you know, we've got so much work to do in that little amount of time.
That time really can be critical, though, as we pointed out.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does the computer voice sound like? I mean, does it sound like something out of, you know, please mind the doors, or is it like soft and warm like Amtrak Jenny or something?
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, the voice we have right now sounds a lot like, you know, Siri on your iPhone, probably, you know, most people would recognize it as similar to that. They do have different voices. And so you can order this program with, you know, different accents, you know, a British voice or a man's voice versus a woman's voice. And so we tested, you know, multiple different voices. And this one that we went with is what we felt, you know, the most, we're able to understand it the most through the speakers that we have and our radios and that kind of stuff.
So how much testing went on before you put this thing online? I imagine you went through a bunch of different options there.
Yeah.
You probably had a few laughs with the British voice.
There was a lot of work that went into it ahead of time. And so we had a team between the dispatch organization in our fire department that tested all this and went through a bunch of trial and error with it. And then the company who actually makes this, Motorola, came and installed it, and we did some more testing. And so, it's really important for us that it's got to work. I mean, we can't put something like this in place and have a bunch of hiccups with it, so there was a lot of work that went in, on the front end.
Justin Bates, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Deputy Chief in Charge of Administration at Medford Fire Rescue. We're talking about the text-to-speech system now in place for dispatch. So the address is actually said by the machinery before the dispatcher even gets a chance to go ahead and get on and give the call, which saves some key seconds. If you have questions or comments, join us at 800-838-3760 across the listening area. Within the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Is the training then all on the dispatcher? At your end, or is there some training too to the crews just to let them? I mean, obviously they have to know the voice is coming.
Most of the training is on the dispatch end. There's not a huge change for us out in the field in the fire stations. We still get dispatched just like we did, and it's just a different voice that we hear. The one piece we miss out in the field is a lot of times you could tell when a dispatcher is dispatching you on a structure fire, say, or a cardiac arrest, just the tone in his or her voice. There's that sense of urgency that, hey, this is the real deal, and you can pick that up through the radio. Well, we miss that with this computerized voice because it's just the same all the time, and so. That's one piece that we've kind of had to get used to. Other than that, the actual sequencing of the dispatches is pretty similar to what we were doing.
That's really interesting, though, because I know the dispatchers are trained thoroughly to be able to give clear information, but just that level of urgency that will creep into any human being, structure fire as opposed to shed fire, or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we relied on that. We could tell when we're driving in the fire truck, we could look at each other and say, yeah, this is going to be a real fire. I can just tell by the tone of their voice, and we don't necessarily have that, at least on the very front end right now. Once we get in the fire engine and we start responding, we are talking to a real human being in the dispatch center. And so we can ask them questions and get that information. This computerized voice is just on the front end when it's dispatching us out.
And you had mentioned the example before of 1242 Main Street, as we would say it, rather than 1204. That could actually take more time to say it. And if you happen to live at 1242 East Main Street or West Main Street in Medford, we're sorry. We're not picking on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to do is get that dispatch as concise as we can, but as consistent as we can too, so we can speed up or slow down the voice also is an option we have. And so we can't speed it up super fast because we've still got to be able to understand as we're kind of running through the fire station, hopping in the fire truck, where we're going.
And so, how much did the system cost?
We got this system on a grant. This system is actually part of a larger, what we call fire station alerting system. And so this was a grant, from the government, it was $682,000 for this whole system, which seems like a lot of money. It was spread over multiple fire departments, so not only City of Medford, but Jackson County Fire District 3 and 5, Ashland, and the airport all participated in this. And so, the grant was an 80-20, so they pay 80% of it, and then the department split up the rest of that 20%.
Which is a pretty good deal then. I mean, if you're talking about combining the forces of those fire departments, fire rescue agencies, in the city's cases, you're covering a lot of the cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a great deal for all the agencies involved. And actually, even the agencies who didn't participate in that grant reap the benefits of this because, like I said, that dispatch center dispatches for a lot of other agencies. And so they get the same text-to-speech and the same benefits of this as well.
So it's still a fairly new system. I think you said it went into online in April. So, I mean, you're noticing any dividends in time saved thus far?
We're still, still running the numbers, and it'll take a little time to get that. Just, common sense tells us, listening to how those are coming out, that I think we will see some time savings on there. And also just the consistency of the dispatching. There's a lot of dispatchers that work in emergency communications of Southern Oregon. And so there's a little bit of variance if they're doing it and they're busy taking other 911 calls and whatnot. The computerized voice is the same every single time. It says the exact same stuff in the same order. And so it's a lot more efficient. What we're seeing is more efficiency in that we get the information we need and then we can move on and respond to the call.
Given how fast electronics and computer technology change, I mean, you're going to end up junking this system in another 3 years or something? I mean, come on, the fastest computer in my house is my phone right now. It's hard to keep up.
Well, I mean, you know, parts and pieces of this can be upgraded, but, you know, any system like this won't last forever, and we realize that. We had a station alerting system before we had this new system, and, you know, technology changes and the way we get dispatched changes over time, and so, you know, we're hoping to get way more than 3 years out of it, you know, but time will tell.
What is the general rate of churn? I mean, you end up getting a different set of dispatching computers and things every, I don't know, computers get changed out about 3-4 years now, it seems like.
Yeah, in the computer part of that, you know, a lot of the other components, the radio system and all that infrastructure doesn't quite change at that pace that we see computers change. But yeah, computers are getting smaller and faster and they can do more. And so as that trend continues, we continue to upgrade and again look for technology. If we can buy new components to make the system work better and faster, we'll definitely look at that.
Text to speech systems for dispatch now in place in Jackson County, as you heard from Justin Bates, who's the Medford Fire Rescue Deputy Chief in charge of administration. Justin, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good to have you here. Bottom of the hour on The Exchange, here's Garrison Keillor.